بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, it gives me full honor and pleasure to be with you again after we're away for 1 month on a Hajj journey. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the opportunity for every brother and sister who intended to go and perform Hajj. I am more than honored to be again with you in a gathering of the gatherings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for any of his servants, Allah will increase their knowledge. مَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for someone, Allah will increase their knowledge. And this is the gathering of knowledge. So you being here tonight, from the many things that inshallah we'll talk about, you being here tonight is a sign that Allah wants good for you. It's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you. So you being here tonight, my brothers and sisters, is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you and to make you realize that Allah Azza wa Jal wants good for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep the bad away from you. Not only that this is the only sign, because you've been in a gathering of knowledge, Allah Azza wa Jal wants good for you. But you also been in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal tonight. As we all know what tonight is tonight, and what tonight is about. You've been in the environment, in the most beloved environments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the most beloved places to Allah are His houses, the mosques. So you are now in the most beloved place to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's the house of Allah. Where we know tonight is the night, what they call the night of New Year's Eve. And it's a night that people look forward to, not because it's a new year, but they look forward to because it's a good opportunity to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in a moment where many people are disobeying Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal wanted you to be in the environment in which you obey Him. In a moment where people are sitting down, thinking of the haram, talking of the haram, looking at the haram, hearing the haram, Allah Azza wa Jal wanted you to be in the house of His, in which you think of Him. Hear what He loves. See what He loves. Say what He loves. And how many people get what you get? If you want to calculate it, believe me, my brothers and sisters, you are from the minority of people that Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to be here tonight, to be part of an environment that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased from. Not an environment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased from. And since tonight is the night of New Year's Eve, maybe it's a good opportunity for us to sit down tonight and talk about what's the Islamic perspective on that New Year's Eve. Because a lot of Muslims mix up with that. A lot of Muslims have the misconception of understanding the New Year's Eve and the celebration of New Year's Eve. A lot of Muslims growing up in the West think that's part of Islam and they don't even realize that. And maybe we were one of them when we were young, when we did not have the Islamic education awareness, or maybe our parents did not make us aware enough that these things are not permissible in Islam. Or maybe them themselves don't even know. And this is the unfortunate thing, that many people don't know. Many people think that Islam is just, this is Islam. It's part of Islam. We have Eid al-Adha, we have Eid al-Fitr, we have New Year's Eve, and we have also Christmas. It's all part of Islam. Some people don't know how to differentiate between them. So what does Islam tell me about those? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, the people of Medina were celebrating days of Eid. Not the days of Eid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the word Eid, Eid means repetitive. Comes from Ada. Ada means coming back. And the reason that we call the days of celebration Eid is because it comes back every year. That's why it's called Eid. So they had their own Eids. But the Eids of Jahiliyyah, not the Eids of Islam. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, and still the new in Islam, that just recently became Muslims, whether 1 or 2 years or how long they've been Muslims for. So they did not think that celebrating those days of celebration or festivals is it's prohibited in Islam. So they celebrated it in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our beloved Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said, what's this celebration that you are celebrating today? What's these festivals that you're holding today? They said, O Messenger of Allah, these are Eids, these are festivals and celebrations that we used to hold during the days of Jahiliyyah, during the days of ignorance. And the days of Jahiliyyah are the days before Islam. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had replaced you with better days of celebration, and that are the days of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Allah had replaced you. And these are the words that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used. Allah had replaced you. What does replace mean? Replace means that you take one thing and put another thing. It doesn't mean you add. There's difference. There's difference between adding and replacing. When you replace something, that means you take the old thing and you put a new thing. That means the old thing does not exist anymore. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمْ خَيْرًا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. Allah had replaced you a festival or a celebration better than those celebrations and festivals. So that means forget about those Eids that you used to have, and now you have better Eids. Eids set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not made up or innovated by any human being. And there were Eid al-Fitr, as we name it, the small Eid, and Eid al-Adha, as we know it as the big Eid. Any other Eid, any other festival, any other celebration, it's not part of Islam. And it's not acceptable by Islam. Especially when a celebration is based on disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially when a celebration is based on prohibited matters. Especially when a celebration is based on the haram. These are no doubt are rejected. So in other words, as Muslims, do we have something called New Year's Eve? Yes, we have something called New Year's Eve. We believe there's something called 2007, it's finished this 2008, but we don't believe there's something called celebration of it. We don't believe of something called festival of it. We don't believe of something called, we'll wait till the midnight, where everyone else is awake waiting for the moment of haram and start disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe during those nights. We believe during the nights of corruption. We believe during the nights of disobedience. We believe during the nights of fitna. We believe during the nights in which Allah azza wa jalla getting disobeyed. It's the night for us to distinguish ourselves in front of Allah. That ya Allah, during a moment where everyone else is disobeying you, here I am, a servant of yours who obeys you. Here I am, a servant of yours who obeys you, Allah. This is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. This is where Islam teaches us. That's why the best of prayers after the farida, the best of prayers after the obligatory prayers, which prayer? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the best of prayers after the farida is qiyamul layl, the nightfall prayer. The prayer at night, late at night, just before Fajr. Why is that prayer is considered to be the best of prayers after the farida? Why is that prayer is so highly recognized in Islam? Why is that prayer so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Allah Azza wa Jal describes the believers in the Quran al-Kareem, what does he say? كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. There were servants, believers, who rarely sleep during the night. So why is Qiyam al-Layl, why is the Tahajjud prayer, is so beloved to Allah, so great in the sight of Allah? You know why? Because it's a moment where everyone else is asleep. It's a moment where everyone else is unaware of it. It's a moment where not many people implement it. It's a moment where not many people take it into action. So this is a prayer that's highly recognized, that's highly beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's greatly beloved to Allah azza wa jal, because it's a moment where people perform it during a moment when many people are asleep. How about a moment when many people are disobeying Allah, not asleep, but disobeying Allah azza wa jal, and unaware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A moment where people are just committing the haram, and here you are, you stand before Allah and you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, the prayer during that night is, of course, no doubt, is becomes much more greater than the prayer at tahajjud. A worship during that moment is much greater than a worship during tahajjud. As we know that tahajjud is great, but this is even more great because it's a moment where everyone else is just disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was monitoring the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam during the month of Sha'ban. And the month of Sha'ban is just a month before Ramadan. And before Sha'ban there's a month called Rajab. After Ramadan, there's 3 months called Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and Dhul-Hijjah. Rajab, Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and Dhul-Hijjah are Ashhur al-Hurum. They are the sacred months. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended to fast as 4 months. So it's Rajab, then Sha'ban, then Ramadan, then the 3 other months come after it. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasting the month of Sha'ban. Okay, we understood Rajab because he told us to fast the month of Rajab. We understood Ramadan because it's obligation. We understood the 3 months after it because the Prophet ﷺ also recommended everyone to fast it. What's the month of Sha'ban? That's the month just before Ramadan. We never heard the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ recommending us to fast that month. On the contrary, the Prophet ﷺ, he discouraged the believers to fast the second half of the month if you did not follow it with the first half of fasting. So Usama saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasting the month of Sha'ban. So he told him, O Messenger of Allah, I'm surprised that you fast this month. It's the month of Sha'ban. You are fasting this month just before Ramadan. So what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respond to Usama? He said, هَذَا شَهْرٌ يَغْثُرُ فِيهِ الْغَفْلَةِ. This is a month that people lack awareness in. أو يغفل فيه كثير من الناس. This is a month that people neglect fasting in. Many people are unaware to fast. Many people are unaware to fast in that month. And for that, because everyone else is not aware of fasting this month, I want to fast it. In other words, moments like these moments, like tonight and other nights, when people are just far off from Islam, or people are far away from Allah, or people are disobeying Allah, these are the moments that you need to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Inshallah, you really are. Inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are indeed a believer. Are you not from those who get dragged with disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're not from those who are after the wrath of Allah. You're not from those who are after the anger of Allah, but you are from those who are after the mercy and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith that's been narrated by Imam Muslim, he says, Al-ibadatu fil haraj kaman hajara ilay. I worship during the time of affliction. I worship during the time of corruption. I worship. I ibadah and obedience. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praying to Allah Almighty. Being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the time of corruption. During the time of disobedience. During the time of lack of awareness. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam describes that time. Describes that worship. The person that performs that worship during the time of corruption and disobedience and haram is like migrating to him. Could you imagine yourself at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the rest of the Sahaba migrating from Mecca to Medina, migrating from any city to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Will I worship during those times? I worship during those periods? Is like migrating to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, great rewards. Great sacrifice. Because it's hard. What's so hard about it? It's hard that when you are part of an environment and you are just the odd one out, that's not celebrating this day. You are the odd one out, not out there, being crazy about it, fighting over it to be part of that corruption. You are one of those who are saying, no, I'm just going to be different than anyone else. I'm going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's hard sometimes to be different. And that's why it's hard for a lot of people to repent to Allah. Because what's so hard about it is not the actual repentance to Allah. It's the actual being different than anyone else. Being different than anyone else. I'm going to leave this crowd. I'm going to leave these people. I'm going to be different to them now. I'm going to look different. I'm going to speak different. I'm going to think different. And that's what's hard about it. And that's why it becomes so easy when everyone else is the same. And that's why it is hard for a night like this night for people to distinguish themselves and say, no, I'm not going to be part of this. I'm going to be part of what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants me to be part of. And being part of what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants me to be part of, it's very hard. And that's why Allah, in many verses in the Quran al-Kareem, what does He refer to the believers? What does He refer to those who thank Him? وَقَلِيلٌ مَّهُمْ. They are very small in number. Always those who obey Allah. Always those who are sincere. Always those who thank Allah. Always those who worship Allah. Always those who follow the path of Allah. They are the minority. They are the minority. And that's why we are becoming that minority and different than anyone else. Watching the news tonight, it tells you 1.5 million people will go and celebrate that day. 1.5 million people. Well, that's their business. But 1.5 million people, that's half of Sydney compared to the population that we live in. 1.5 million people. Could you imagine if 1.5 million people attend a prayer? 1.5 million people working for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? 1.5 million people doing the right thing? 1.5 million people doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased from? Will make a big difference. But I'll tell you something. Those minority people in the sight of Allah are worth more than 1.5 million people. The minority of people always in the sight of Allah are worth more than everyone else. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the quality of people. And look at yourself. What quality do you have? What quality of iman do you have? They have the strong and firm and sincere and clear and pure iman. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you an order, you obey. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to keep away from something, you keep away from it. When Allah azza wa jalla tells you to do something, you do it. Are you from those? Okay. Let's look into one of the great people in history. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. Ashab al-Kahf. The people of Kahf. In which Allah Almighty had mentioned a full surah about those great teenagers. And who are those great teenagers? There were seven teenagers. And Allahu A'lam, the number of them. But most likely there were seven of them. Young, enthusiastic, strong, respectable teenagers. Who lived among the people. But they were living in a time of oppression. And they were living in a time of a king
who thought nothing but of himself and his power. And those seven teenagers don't come from any family, but they come from wealthy, respectable families. And it was a day similar to tonight, a day of celebration. The whole city came out to celebrate that day in which they celebrate every single year. And everyone was part of that festival. Everyone was part of that Eid. Except seven, who isolated themselves and did not know one another who was believing in Allah and who wasn't. They were the followers of Isa alayhi salam. And the message of Isa alayhi salam came to them in one way or another. And they believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophecy of Isa alayhi salam. And that day where everyone is getting together on shirk, everyone's getting together on kufr, everyone's getting together on disobedience, one by one start to isolate that scene and go on an isolated place. And subhanallah, with no plan, one coming, meeting the other one, and the third one, and the fourth one just coming along until seven of them got together. They did not know that they were believers until they disclosed their secret. And then they said, yes, we don't believe what these people believe in. We believe in Allah Almighty. So each one thought he was one. Now, alhamdulillah, they became seven. And in one way or another, the news came to the tyrant king or ruler at that time, in which his name by many of the books and the biographies say his name was Daqnayos. When Daqnayos found out about them and their odd belief, as they've always been odd, Daqnayos called them and he said, is it true what I heard about you? That you do not believe in the same belief that we believe in. You do not follow the same path that we follow. Those seven brave young teenagers, with full braveness, they spoke out and said, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in Allah, that there's no God except Him, the owner of the heavens and the earth, and the creator of mankind. And we don't believe in any other creator than the creator of Allah. We don't believe in any other creator. We don't believe in any other Lord except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't believe in the creation of being a God as these people believe in, because they take the creation as gods. And then the torture came on there, and they were tortured and locked up, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the chance and the opportunity for them to flee the city and to go somewhere else. They realized there's no other option except to leave their town, sacrifice their family and land, sacrifice the comfort and luxury they were living in, and to go somewhere else. So they traveled in a secret way, in a hidden way that the soldiers of Daqnayos or the ruler or the king don't find out about them, and they fled the country. On the way, they wanted to rest. Where do they go to? They see a cave nearby, so they go into that cave. When they were traveling, there was a dog that they went past, and that dog started to chase them or walk with them all the way to the cave. They went inside that cave. They were so tired, so restless, so exhausted, so they said, let's rest. And it was early during the day. So they said, let's rest for a few hours, get our energy back, and then we could maybe travel during the night where no one can see us. Cooler and more protective. So they went to sleep. Seven of them slept inside that cave. And the dog, of course, slept outside on the entry of the cave. Subhanallah. They wake up, and it was late during the day. And they were surprised from themselves that they slept in, and they thought of themselves that they slept in few extra hours. But the reality was, that they slept in for 300 years. When they wake up later during the day, they said to themselves, looks like we slept in. We're supposed to wake up a bit earlier than that, but it looks like we slept in later during the day. And they thought it was only extra hours that they slept in, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to sleep in for 300 years. 300 years, ikhwan. And this is not a story that I'm making up. This is a story that's mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. For 300 years, ikhwan, they slept inside that cave. 300 years. We've never heard of someone, of course, in our time and era, or even just before now, ever lived for more? 300 years. How about someone sleeping for 300 years? Well, those seven teenagers slept for 300 years, ya ikhwan. 300 solar years, but 309 lunar years. As Allah Azza wa says, was dadu tis'a. An extra 9 referring to the lunar years. Someone might ask and say, 300 years, ma'ul? Is this logical? No one went past that cave. No one found out about these people inside that cave. Has anyone seen them? Didn't their sides or them lying down burn? Didn't they rotten? Didn't their skin rotten during that time? We all know that if you don't take your skin out to the sun every and then, your skin starts to change color. And that's after a few years. Could you imagine after 300 years? And there was a hole in that cave that the sunlight used to come through. Someone might ask, didn't they get the skin burned? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned all that in the Quran al-Kareem. So for those who to think, Allah Azza wa Jal gives them the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَعَيْهِ بِالْوَسِيطِ. Their dog slept on the entrance of that cave. When you go past a cave, or go past an area where you see a dog there, are you going to go near it? You would not go near it. So this is one of the wisdoms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that dog follow them and sleep on the entrance of that cave. So it does not allow anyone to go near that cave. Because people get scared to go near that cave. It's a natural thing. That's why people have guard dogs. So people don't come near their houses. And same thing, that dog slept on the entrance of that cave to prevent anyone from coming into that cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. I would twist them around from right to left and left to right. So their side of skin, their shoulder or their side of skin that's sleeping on the ground does not rotten after that many years. So Allah Azza wa Jalla twists them to the other side. And then it twists them again. And how about the sunlight? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, and we kept away the harm of that sunlight. Yani only the benefit of that sunlight took place into their bodies, none in harm. Did not burn the skin, nothing. Only the benefit of it came to them. For 300 years, ikhwani. But obviously to those seven teenagers, they don't know 300 years went past. They think few hours, maybe 3 hours went past, not 300 years. And they wake up so hungry. They were so hungry. Of course, 300 years, you got to be starving. So hungry. So the first thing that came to their mind is, does anyone have food with them? Let everyone check their bag. Is there food for us to eat? Unfortunately, after everyone checking their bags, there was no food for anyone to eat. Okay. Then the only option that we have is to go and buy food. Does anyone have money? Yes. One of them said, I've got this coin. The other one said, I've got that coin. And of course, it's a coin that's made during the time and era of Daqnaios. So they sat down and said, let's send 2 or 3 of us down to the city. Let them get some food. But
وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يَشْعَرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. But make sure when they go in a secret. They go in a very secretive and a quiet manner that no one should be aware of them. Or else, if they find out about us, they'll come and take us back and force us to be where we used to be. They still worried about their faith. They are still protecting their faith. And for that, Allah Azza wa Jalla protected them in return. So two or three of them went down to the city to buy some food to bring back to their mates, to their brothers. And their brothers are waiting. And those two walk into a city that they know of. I'm walking into a town I know. But subhanAllah, 300 years, that town doesn't look like how it used to be 300 years ago. That town is not as big as it used to be. Or that town is much bigger than what it used to be 300 years ago. The people of that town are much more different than the people were 300 years ago. But what would these people know? They don't know. They slept for 300 years. All they think and all they thought of, they only slept for a few hours. And what common sense or logical mind will accept that someone slept for 300 years? We will laugh at someone if he sleeps for 30 hours. Could you imagine 300 years? But it's all the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those teenagers will walk in. Two or three of them will walk into that town. They were so amazed. Are we in our dreams? Are we in reality? Are we in the right town or wrong town? Is this the people that we deal with before or not? Maybe there's something wrong. Anyway, just forget it. Let's focus on what we came here for. Grab the food and run away. They go and look for some food. They see some humble food to buy. Time to pay. They pay. The shopkeeper receives the money. He looks at the coins. What coins is it? 300 years old coins. Where did you get this money from? It's 300 years old. We don't use this currency anymore. It's different currency. Who's this name of this ruler on the on this coin? This ruler died 300 years ago. These teenagers are so surprised. What's wrong with this person? What would they ever think to their mind they slept for 300 years? An argument took place. The shopkeeper started to accuse them. Maybe these guys found a good treasure. Maybe they had a good hold of a very, very big and wealthy treasure. So he grabs him, takes him to the ruler. They stand before a ruler sitting on a chair, the same chair that the previous ruler used to sit on, but it's a different ruler. Who is this person? And who are you? And these teenagers just in a state of confusion. Where are we? And who are we stealing from before? Who are you teenagers? And who was the ruler at your time? It was Daqnayos. Daqnayos passed away and died 300 years ago. Are you making a joke? Are you making some jokes? Are you just making up stories? And then the ruler, and he used to be a pious ruler, and they say also he was a believing ruler. At that time the city had turned to Islam after it was full of shirk and worshipping idols. That ruler saw the piety in the face of those teenagers, and at the end he believed them. And then he went all the way to the cave to meet his other brothers, their other companions, to see those pious, religious, God-fearing, those who fled for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he meets seven young, righteous, pious teenagers who he's probably never met before. And they were there inside that cave. And then when the ruler, that king at that time, a pious ruler, walked out of the cave, he came in and he saw them all dead again. They all passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all this to take place to show a miracle. That those who protect Allah's deen, Allah will protect them. And those who distinguished themselves during the time of fitna, Allah Azza wa Jalla will distinguish them from all His creation. Those who protect Islam and protect their religion, protect their faith,
Protect their belief. During a moment where everyone else is just swaying, drifting away from Islam, Allah takes care of them. And they were those teenagers, ya ikhwan. They were those teenagers in a moment where everyone else is away from Islam. They were towards Islam. Everyone else is away from Allah. They were towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone else is disobeying Allah. They were obeying Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in the Quran Kareem for a reason. And that reason, ya ikhwan, is to look up to those teenagers. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, tonight, my role models, my examples, those who I look up to become like, are those people of Ahlul Kahf. Not those who are committing the sins and the haram during the celebration of New Year. My example tonight is the example of those fitya that Allah mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, those young Muslim teenagers of Ahlul Kahf. And maybe tonight is a night that you could occupy yourself to read Surah Al-Kahf. The sunnah is to read it on Friday, but read it for the sake of knowing more about those teenagers. Tonight, I occupy my time where everyone else is shouting and screaming and calling the creation I call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray to Allah azza wa jal. I remember Allah and I supplicate to Allah. And I say, ya Allah, protect me the way you protected Ahlul Kahf. Ya Allah, take care of me the way you took care of Ahlul Kahf. Ya Allah, protect my faith the way you protected their faith. Ya Allah, send your mercy and rahmah on me, and then send your anger and wrath on me. This is a night that I could show Allah, yes, I'm indeed a true believer. I'm indeed a true believer who believes in Allah, believes in His Messenger, and believes in the Quran al-Kareem, and obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me take advantage of this night, ikhwani. These are the nights that I should be crying and also be happy that, ya Allah, thank you for making me from those who remember you, not forget you. From those who worship you, not disobey you. From those who follow you, not turn away from you. This is the night, ikhwani. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be with Allah azza wa jal. And turn your mind and your focus on your mind to Allah azza wa jal. And don't turn anywhere else. And remind your brothers, remind your sisters, remind your families. With hikmah, of course. With wisdom. And then let shaitan take you through the door of halal to take you to haram. Then let the shaitan deceive you by making you do the wrong thing for the right thing. Don't go up to someone and start abusing them and screaming at them and shout at them, you this, you that, you're a kafir or fasiq or mubtadi' for celebrating this. You, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? No. You remind them. You speak to them. No, I probably spoke to you. Be from those who are with Allah Azza wa Jal. Promote the good, ya ikhwani. Promote the good. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idhati al hasana. Call to Allah Azza wa Jal with wisdom, and which is good and beneficial to people. For ikhwan, if you see someone that you saw from your family or your friends that drifted that way, remind them, inshallah, maybe tonight with a sincere reminder from your heart, Allah will open the heart and turn them to the deen. And turn them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thank Allah Azza wa Jal for accepting us to be from those who are in an environment of in which He is pleased from. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His rahmah, His mercy, His blessings upon us, and to keep away His wrath and anger away from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept every sacrifice of every brother and sister at this night. I will also ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide all our Muslim brothers and sisters who are drifted away from this deen or gone the wrong or deviated way. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, we ask You to guide them and bring them back to this deen and use them for this deen and wake them up for which is good and which you are pleased from. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Inshallah, next Monday we continue, inshallah, with the biography or the stories of the prophets as we left you with before Hajj. And inshallah, again, we are with you on Thursday nights. So inshallah, let us see you more often. May Allah reward you all for coming. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla keep you firm. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.